What's up, y'all? Welcome to the Sports and Medicine Broadcast, episode 63. If you can't beat them, join them, for December 5th, 2013. Our special guest is Chris Lenker. He is the host of AT Podcast on atpodcast.net, and he is also an athletic trainer at Tusculum. Did I say that correct? Tusculum College?
Yes, sir. Yep. Tusculum College.
All right. So I am, of course, your host, Jeremy Jackson, but with me are the real stars of today's show.
Brianna.
George.
Marissa.
Morena.
Jocelyn.
Edith.
Lorena.
Aisha.
Alex.
Marlin. And the rest of the sports medicine crew. And then also, Chris is, I believe, doing a show on his end. So I believe he'll be posting this on his site as his show, and then I'll be posting it on mine. And so then we have Chris. Why don't you say hi?
Yeah, how is everybody? Happy to be here. So. I think that's kind of the, if I read between the lines, kind of the gist of the broadcast or the episode title, if you can't beat them, join them, kind of two podcasts hooking up, linking up, trying to join forces. So.
Yep, that was kind of the idea. And it's not really a competition in any way. It's just I've been reading some stuff about hosting roundtables with competing podcasts in your area, and I don't think we're at all competing. We're just... We figure, hey, we're both doing the same thing. Let's just see what we can make work.
Yeah, and I don't know that there's many of us doing it. I mean, I know that there's some medical ones, but you guys have been doing it longer than I have, and I've gotten a chance to go back and listen to a lot of the things that you've done, and it's awesome. It's really, I mean, you guys are doing exactly what we set out to do. Just there's usually more voices, and a lot of times on our episodes we end up linking up either by Skype or in person with one or two other people, and it's awesome the way that you involve the students and everything in the discussion. It's actually kind of what we're going to try to do this March for Athletic Training Month. We're going to try to enlist the help of students to actually conduct the interviews for us, so that my partner Pradeep Van Gurry, who's the other one, he's not with us today, but he's down at Nova Southeastern in Florida. He and I kind of started things on our end with AT Podcast, and we ended up doing a whole boatload of interviews last March for Athletic Training Month, and I would like to do the same thing and put out an episode every day in March again this coming 2014. And it was a lot of work, so we're trying to enlist the help of some athletic training students from around the country to maybe talk with certified athletic trainers in their area or people that they're interested in talking with, and maybe having us help produce an episode and put that out as our AT Podcast episodes in March. So excellent stuff that you guys are doing. Really, really neat stuff, and good question and excellent involvement. And then you've had some awesome guests as well. So can't say enough about what you guys are doing. So I hope we're not competing, because if we are, you'd be kicking my butt right now. So,
well, I don't know about that, but did you say you're going to do a podcast every day in March?
Yeah, and that's kind of how we started. Well, and I'll kind of back up a little bit and just to give you some background. The gentleman I mentioned earlier was a classmate of mine in college years and years and years ago, and we were at a meeting. We were at one of the national convention meetings. We happened to, even though he's in Florida and I'm in Tennessee, we actually are in the same District 9, the Southeast Athletic Trainers Association, and we were in the business meeting for District 9. And somebody, one of the committee members, I don't know if it was public relations or who it was, made a comment about using social media to kind of promote athletic training. And they just kind of mentioned it briefly. And, of course, we were sitting there, as we're, you know, apt to do, just kind of cutting up and joking around and stuff. And we made the comment that, you know, we should have a podcast, and almost in the vein of, you know, the car talk guys on NPR that just give out probably good, but, you know, kind of entertaining advice about car stuff. And we said, oh, somebody should do that. And so as the night went on, we talked with more and more people about it. And we were just kind of joking around. And, you know, before long, enough people said, you know, that's not a bad idea, that we started thinking about, you know, that kind of planted the podcast seed. Then as that fall went on, and we were kind of talking about different opportunities and different things, we identified Athletic Training Month in March, you know, as a big opportunity to kind of, you know, promote athletic training, which is what we wanted to do. And we kind of borrowed or stole, depending on how you want to say it, the idea that ESPN came up with. They have that 30 for 30 series where they, you know, have a documentary produced for each one of the years that they've been around. And we thought, you know, why can't we just interview other athletic trainers and try to compile 31 of them and put one out for all 31 days in March? So we started it about November of 2012 or so. And it would be, you know, on site somewhere. I would be traveling with, you know, with my team with Tusculum. We'd be on the road with football, and I'd bring a little recorder along, and I'd sit down with the other team's athletic trainer, or I'd sit down with somebody I knew in the area, and just kind of have a discussion, you know, real informal, just kind of about their background and what work setting they were in and things like that. And so over the, you know, the months leading up to March, we compiled a whole bunch of those things, and we put one out every single day and got great feedback, and people really enjoyed listening for some reason just to athletic trainers talk shop, you know, and just kind of talk about their settings and what they like and how they got involved with it and that kind of thing. And when March was over, we thought, well, we certainly ain't going to do one of these every day. But, you know, we kind of set our sights on weekly, or more realistically biweekly, just to sit down with somebody and put one out. And the idea is, again, to try to do another 31 when we get to March, but let some of the athletic training students around do a lot of the legwork for us. But it was a neat project, and really got some pretty good feedback and got some pretty good recognition for it. So ambitious, but good.
Yeah, doing one every day would be pretty tough. I mean, this is two in a row, and you can see obviously we're having plenty of problems here. But are you going to try and do it every day in March, or are you going to try and do it like starting in January, February, and record those and get them ready and then get them in line?
Yeah. They'll be recorded way ahead of time. We've actually started. One of the things that I do, I serve as adjunct faculty here at Tusculum. We have an athletic training education program, and one of the courses that I instruct is the senior level management, the organization and administration class, where you talk just a lot about, you know, a lot about, it's head athletic trainer 101 is what it is. And you talk a lot about just the administrative side of athletic training. And one of the things we talk a lot about is just professional responsibility, licensure, you know, the way that state regulations differ from state to state and whatnot. So one of the projects that we've done the last few years has been, I ask our students to reach out and do and record an audio interview with an athletic trainer from another state, with the idea of kind of talking with them about not just their background and their job setting and whatnot, but what the state regulation is like for athletic training in their state, and what's involved with licensure and things like that. So, you know, that kind of just naturally, I guess, contributed right now. You know, I have those four seniors in my class right now, and so I have, you know, two of them in the can right now, and we're recording a couple others. So as we go, and Pradeep, I think, is doing very much the same down in Florida. So as we go, you know, we'll be recording those way ahead of time, and then just releasing them. So we can't record them 31 days in a row. That would just be unbearable, and, you know, there's other things going on like work and life and things like that. So we'll record them ahead of time, and you know, we've been in touch with some other people with athletic training programs at different levels, and talked with them about hopefully involving their students in recording some and whatnot. Because, like I said, I've kind of, you know, almost exhausted the supply of athletic trainers around here and people that I've crossed paths with in the past. So I really, you know, would like to get some fresh perspective from some different people with different backgrounds and in different geographic areas and whatnot. So hopefully people are people listen and think, you know, that's something that they could do. It's not difficult to do, despite, you know, some of the technical gremlins that pop up every now and then. You know, it's not difficult to link up with somebody on Skype and just plug in a little, you know, micro cassette or plug in a little voice recorder or something and get some pretty good audio from that. So it's a neat way to do it. And it's, like I said, it's, you know, it's an excellent experience for the students, as it has been for me. And so that's kind of the, you know, going forward and heading towards March, that's kind of what we're hoping to accomplish again.
All right. That's a whole lot. You said at the end of that there, are you planning to talk to people other than athletic trainers, like in the sports medicine field, or are you really trying to keep it athletic trainers that are just in different locations and maybe different settings?
Yeah, so I think for – and what we did was for the March project is we tried to really talk – especially last year because if you remember last year's athletic training month theme was everybody needs an athletic trainer. And we kind of played on that theme and made an effort to go out and talk with certified athletic trainers that are serving in all different settings. So we talked with, you know, professional athletic trainers, and we talked with industrial athletic trainers. We talked with some people that were in the military and in all different levels of athletics and whatnot. And so, you know, I think probably for the March broadcasts that we'd like to try to stick with the athletic trainers, but with kind of the in-between ones, the episodes that we put out in between and all the rest of the year besides March, we're trying to talk with just anybody who'll talk to us, quite frankly, physicians and, you know, people from different settings and whatnot and athletes and all different types of people. But, you know, it's definitely more, you know, it's definitely more geared towards the athletic trainer. Those are the people that are listening rather than just the casual listener, unless you include, you know, friends and family and whatnot. But most of the time it's the athletic trainers and athletic training students that are listening and that get the most out of this. So we definitely, you know, talk about athletic training and sports medicine issues with, you know, anybody that'll talk with us that we think will be interesting and informative. But I think most of the people that we talk with and probably all the March ones will be athletic trainers again. I know you guys have people from all over the place, all different backgrounds, nutritionists and you know, everything, just, and that's just some of the recent ones that I've tried to go back and catch up on. So I'll flip it around on you since I'm kind of recording this for my purposes too. But how did you guys get started with deciding to broadcast? And then how do you decide on the guests that you have and that kind of thing? Tell me your story if you don't mind.
Okay, well, I used to teach biology, and so how it started was I wanted to record the lessons to put up on the website so that the students, if they were absent or if they needed to go back, they wanted to do that. And so that's how I started. That was my intention. But then I went to a technology conference, and I sat in on a live podcast and saw that it was like a talk show and that kind of thing, and so then I developed it. So, you know, through writing grants, I've gotten this equipment, and I'm sure you can see.
Yeah.
There's a lot of different equipment, so there's been a lot of different grants. And, you know, as the class grew, so did the podcast, and as the need grew, so did the grants and that kind of thing. And so when I first started, it was just me talking with the students or me talking with the athletic trainers. And then it involved the students being on the mic, students having different jobs. And I know it may look like some of them are not doing what they're supposed to be doing, but Everyone's got a job, you know. Aisha's there, supposed to be tweeting stuff out, and he is at AT Podcast.
Mm-hmm.
And so you can, if you mention him in the tweets, and, you know, there's a big screen there, so they're listening. And, you know, so as I've developed jobs and stuff like that. But then as far as a guest, really it was just kind of whoever I could think of or, you know, that kind of thing. But as I've been going to conferences, guest speakers that interest me, I go up and talk to them at, you know, usually give them the business card and say, hey, this is what we're doing. Would you be interested? And then just recently we've started, I kind of took a survey of the kids. Hey, who do you want to talk to? Okay, we'll write them a letter and then I'm going to email it to them. And so we have one of them. I can't remember which one it is if I looked at it. But they're, you know, the students say, this is what we want to hear about. This is what we want to learn about. And so those are the guests I'm going to try and bring in for the second semester so that it's their guests, their questions,
yeah,
and everything like that. So,
yeah, that's awesome. Now, what is your background specifically? Did you undergrad in athletic training, or is that something that you went back to later on? Or
all right, I graduated from Houston Baptist University, and that was the last year that they could do the internship for the NATA.
Okay.
And so I have a bachelor's of science in biology and kinesiology, and then I passed the national exam and then the state licensure test. And since then, I'm no longer nationally certified because here in Texas, you don't have to have the national certification. And the, you know, I had some problems with not keep, I didn't keep all my CEU papers, so I didn't have them to turn in. And then I said, well, I'm not going back to college to get that again. So it's just kind of the situation. And so, you know, I did athletic training in high school, and then I did it in college. And so this is my 10th year as a professional to be doing it, and all in the high school setting.
Yeah. Now, did you get into it like many of us do, were first exposed to it in high school following an injury or anything like that? Or what was it that kind of drove you towards or kind of steered your career towards athletic training?
I really don't know. They made an announcement in middle school that said, if you want to be an athletic trainer, come fill out the application. So I went to the office, got the application, filled it out. And then they called me in for an interview. So I did the interview. And then from then on, I was a student athletic trainer at Adobe High School. And, you know, I just kind of did it freshman and sophomore year. And then when I got to be about a junior, I was like, you know, I think this is something I'd really like. And so then I started pursuing what I needed to do it as, you know, in college and that kind of thing. So I don't have a specific time where I was like, hey, I'm interested in that. I think I just really was like, okay, I'll go fill it out. And then it just happened to be that way.
Yeah. Did now, have you been at Pasadena the whole time?
No, I was in Fort Bend for 3 years, so this is my 7th year here.
Okay. Okay. And then, so you're surrounded by students right now, and they're all, are they, and you may have said this before, and I misunderstood or misheard you, but is it an athletic training class that you're in, or what's the nature of the class that you're in right now?
So this is Sports Medicine 1. Here we have Sports Medicine 1 and Sports Medicine 2. Sports Medicine 1 is an introductory class where basically I'm teaching them to do athletic training. And so the other athletic trainer, Bill, he has athletic training right now. So we have one of our athletic training students in the athletic training room helping with rehab and all that kind of stuff, while all of these kids are in here kind of learning how to do what we do. So some of them are student athletic trainers. Some of them don't want to be student athletic trainers. And so either way, that's fine. So it's kind of like a, you know, you're interested in sports medicine, this is a good introductory course. You know, we certify on first aid, CPR, AED, teach them anatomy. We did spine boarding the other day. We've been working we'll be working on medical terminology and that kind of thing.
Yeah.
And so that's what this class is Sports Medicine 1. And this is the 4th year we've had it. Like I said, I taught biology for 3 years when I was here at Pasadena. And then this is my 4th year with this class. So it's gotten a little bit bigger each year. So does that answer your question?
Yeah, it definitely does. And you know, I'm sure that you find with your graduates from those classes and from, you know, your high school that have been involved in those classes, is that the athletic training and the sports medicine skills really go a long way towards preparing you for a number of different things, either in college or the real world, just interacting with people and whatnot. So that's what, you know, that I was going to try to ask the students if I could, kind of what their interests were and if they had any questions about anything athletic training related for me or anything I can help them with. You want to just go around the room and see if anybody had any questions?
All right, so you want them to ask you questions?
Yeah, fire away if they have anything they want to know, or if you know, they want to tell their story or anything like that. Yeah, involve them as much as we can.
All right, so he is an athletic trainer at a college in Tennessee. So why don't you guys think about that? Think if you have any questions for him. Obviously, it works better if you're asking your questions. But while you're thinking about that, you guys think about that. I'm going to be just talking to Chris for a second here.
Yeah, that's fine.
When I looked at the website for Tusculum College, it said it's the first college in Tennessee.
Yeah, it is. We have kind of an interesting background, and more just kind of where Tusculum is now, is we are we're a small... We only have an undergraduate enrollment here on campus of about 1,000 students, so most high schools are bigger than Tusculum. We play Division II athletics. We're way, way, way over as far as you can be in Tennessee. You have Tennessee on the eastern side of the state kind of comes up to a point. We're up there in that point, right in the mountainous areas. We actually, the county that Tusculum is in borders on North Carolina, so we're way, way over. I've been here for, this is my 14th year. I came here right out of graduate school as an assistant and enjoyed everything about the area, enjoyed everything about the coaching staffs. Our facilities are fantastic, and there's really no reason to go anywhere. So I've been here that whole time. The college is very old. It on my business card and on all of our letterhead, it talks about Tusculum being established in 1794. So it actually predates the state of Tennessee, I believe, by a couple of years. It does not function where I'm physically sitting right now is not where the college was in 1794. It actually was a couple of, you know, ministers or somebody that started some, you know, just small educational, consortiums or small little educational groups. And there were two different colleges here around, and they eventually merged. And we've been on the site where we are right now for quite some time, but I'm not sitting in a, you know, in a 200 plus year old building right now, unfortunately. So.
That's pretty cool. Interesting story about the college. All right. So you guys have questions at all for Chris as an athletic trainer at the university, or athletic training or sports medicine in general?
And just in case this prompts any other questions, we have 15 or 16 sports right now. I primarily work with our football and baseball teams. I travel with football and baseball. I oversee a staff of, I'm part of a staff of 7 certified athletic trainers. And like I said, we do have an education program here. So a couple of those 7 are technically faculty, where the majority of their job is teaching and instruction and advising students. Like I said, it's a small school, and my background prior to here was at East Carolina University in Greenville, North Carolina, and that's a big school, big giant school, Division I athletics, and has a huge enrollment and whatnot. So I've kind of seen both sides of things and kind of been involved on both sides of things, big and small, and worked with a whole bunch of different sports and whatnot. So,
what have you enjoyed most about your podcast?
So probably just getting a chance to talk to people that I would not have ever spoken, you know, to, unless, you know, outside of the podcast situation. So, like I said, most of the people that I've spoken with on the podcast are people that I either knew or went to school with or have crossed paths with. But what ends up happening, you know, is you kind of start your job and you work and you go through the day-to-day stuff. You interact a lot with the people on your staff, but you don't see a whole lot of what goes on outside of, you know, Tusculum College, or you don't see a whole lot of what goes on outside of the schools that are in your immediate area or in, you know, in the athletic conference. So, you know, the times that I've gotten a chance to go talk with Division I athletic trainers, or I've gotten a chance to talk with somebody who's maybe more involved on the education side, or, you know, NATA Hall of Famers and things like that, I really wouldn't probably have interacted with them on, you know, on any level, let alone on, you know, on a committee get to tape and broadcasting it for the whole world to hear a conversation. But so it's neat to talk to them. And what I've mentioned a time or two on the podcast, that, you know, and it's good for people to hear that. And I think people have, you know, the feedback we've gotten is that people enjoy hearing kind of what we talk about. What people don't hear is really what I like the most about it. And really, to answer your question, it would be, you know, the 10, 15, 20 minutes that we're just kind of shooting the bull while I'm setting up the equipment, you know, and then the 10, 20, 30 minutes when I'm breaking down the equipment and we're just kind of talking, you know, somewhat off the record, or, you know, not, you know, it's not being recorded and it's not going to be released or anything like that. I enjoy that. You know, I enjoy the discussion I have with all the podcast subjects that does not make it on the tape. You know, like I said, it's fun to hear that stuff and it's really educational, but there are times when, you know, people are speaking frankly and you get a chance just to talk shop, or you remember something that didn't come up in the podcast that you wanted to hear about. And that kind of stuff is invaluable to me, and it's enjoyable. And, but so talking with all the people that, you know, that I really wouldn't have interacted with, and really talking to them on a level that, you know, that is meaningful to me, is what I've enjoyed most about it.
I would say kind of the same thing. You know, I do this not really as a way to get out of teaching, but as a way to bring different perspective into the class, you know, so there's somebody else talking to them. But the thing that I find out is that I think I learn more from them than probably the students do, because, you know, this is obviously my field, and just taking all the different perspectives, different thoughts, different ideas. And so it's a way for me to be in a, you know, a lecture or a seminar almost every single week of the year where I can learn something. So,
yeah, and you do a lot, you know, and that's one of the things, you know, I certainly, you know, and I value the experiences and I value the different perspectives that my staff brings. And I learn so much from my staff here, but it's different than, you know, it's different than being out and interacting with people at different institutions and things like that. And, you know, sometimes you feel like you get stuck in, you know, the way that we might treat a ankle sprain or a hamstring, you know, strain, or the way that we may manage a concussion. We get used to doing that, and you know, kind of get stuck in your ways and whatnot. And sometimes all it takes is somebody just mentioning off the cuff that, you know, they're doing something a little bit differently at their institution to make you go back and kind of reevaluate what you're doing. And you're right, you get a chance to hear that almost without fail. Every single conversation you have with somebody is something that you either learn from or causes you to at least reexamine what you're doing clinically and, you know, and maybe administratively and whatnot. You know, I talked to Mike Goforth, who's the head athletic trainer at Virginia Tech, early on in one of the interviews. And, you know, we didn't talk a whole lot about injury management stuff, but he talked just a lot about how he manages his staff and how, you know, he understands that athletic training is so time intensive, and that there's times where you're there for hours and hours and hours at a time, and there's times where you work and you don't get a whole lot of days off and you're away from your family. And he understands the demands of athletic training as much, you know, probably more so than most. You know, and he mentioned in his interview how if they're sitting around the athletic training room and there's not much going on, you know, he'll send some of his staff home. He'll say, you know, there's not much going on, why don't you go ahead and get out of here? And if nobody leaves, then he'll leave. You know, okay. He says, you know, you really have to, you know, balance time and, you know, family and professional demands and whatnot. And, you know, he was able to talk about how early on in his career, maybe he didn't do that as well as he should. And that, you know, the family and the kids kind of can suffer from that if that's your situation. And, you know, hearing that kind of stuff's invaluable to me, being a few years younger than him and still having to manage a staff and whatnot. So, you know, that's just a tiny example, you know, of something that comes up every single time you have a conversation with somebody. And that happened to make it on the podcast, but a lot of stuff we talked about, you know, did not. So that interview, consequently, is one of the interesting ones, because that interview happened on, I think it was, and I say it on the podcast, but that interview took place in Orlando, Florida on December 26th. And the way that was arranged is my family and I were actually on vacation at Disney World over the Christmas holiday, and I happened to notice that Virginia Tech was playing in a bowl game in Orlando. And so I knew Mike a little bit and called him up and asked if he'd have any time at the team hotel to sit down and record a podcast. So I took a break and left the Magic Kingdom and actually went over to the team hotel in Orlando, Florida, and we went in a little conference room and sat down and, you know, talked for about an hour, and probably about half of that made it on tape and the rest of it didn't. So that's been one thing that's been interesting to me is, you know, I'll go on vacation or I'll go on a road trip with a team, and I make sure that I have something that if I need to sit down and try to record a conversation that I can. So I've enjoyed doing that, just kind of on the fly and sitting down in you know, an athletic training room or a hotel room with somebody. Or I talked with a young lady who was a head athletic trainer for a minor league hockey team, and we sat during practice in the head coach's office with his two dogs. And I sat down and kind of interviewed her for a podcast episode just about her experiences and, you know, what pro hockey is like, you know, as a female head athletic trainer. So it's been fun. That's the other thing I enjoy, is just kind of, you know, just kind of finding interviews where I can and tracking people down and going to them. The Skype is easy, and man, it makes it easy to edit and whatnot, but I really like doing the on location stuff. It gives you a really good sense of the environment that person works in, or, you know, even if it's in a hotel, you know, the perspective that I get of Mike Goforth getting on a plane and flying to Florida and taking care of, you know, 70 some players and all the support staff, you know, it really puts you inside their head and makes that, makes the conversation that much better.
Yeah, I know that the students enjoy it more when there's somebody in person. So I know whenever I was first starting, I didn't have enough computer power to run you know, Skype video, and so some of the sometimes it just wasn't working, and so they get a little bored. But now I've got, you can't see it in the camera, but there's a monitor behind the students so that they can see your face or see whatever image, you know, you got it going on. And so it makes it a little bit easier, but
sorry about that, students. having a look at me right before lunch probably.
I know we also talked to the local Chick-fil-A owner and then a guy that's the president of a staffing company. Mm-hmm. I think both of those were last year.
They're about managing personnel or managing staff or something like that.
Basically people management, because that's really what we're doing. So.
I didn't get a chance to go back and hear the full content of that, but I saw that you'd done that, and I was thinking Chick-fil-A. I'm like, wait a minute, what's going on? Is it, you know? But the more I thought about it, the more I thought, you know, a lot of the things that we encounter in athletic training, you encounter in any, you know, in just in any profession. Now, I always compare my sister's career to mine, which is about as opposite as you can get. She's a CPA, so she's, you know, sits behind a desk and does a lot of just accounting work all day, every day. And, you know, I always wonder when I'm in the baseball dugout and we win a game on a walk-off home run and you're hooping and hollering and jumping over the rails and making, you know, dogpiling on your team on home plate and stuff like that, if there's anything similar in the accounting world. If there is, maybe somebody will chime in and let me know if they, you know, they finish a big tax audit or something and they, you know, dump a Powerade cooler on their boss or something. I doubt that happens, but you know, but with those exceptions, you know, there's people management. You have to report, you know, you have to be, you know, you have to be available and be able to communicate with your bosses and employees and clients and things like that. So there's a lot of carryover, and like I said, the way that you guys apply that and talk with people from different settings and then apply it to the athletic training realm is awesome. So.
Have you been able to meet anyone or gain any special privileges?
Not so much, not really many special privileges. You know, the people that I've spoken with, like I said, out of the 50, however many episodes we've done, we've gotten a chance to interview, I think, seven. Six have been released, but we've interviewed a seventh NATA Hall of Famer. So these are people that have been in our profession and made a, you know, direct impact in our profession. Many of them were around. You heard, is it Jeremy or Mr. Jackson? What are the students
calling? They just call me Jackson, but you can say Jeremy. They know my first name.
So you heard Jeremy mention earlier just about the Board of Certification exam that we take. And there are a few people that we've spoken with recently that have been working as certified athletic trainers longer than there has been a BOC exam or an NATA exam. So, you know, one of my students spoke with John Lopez recently, and that'll be one of the March episodes, but he talked about how, you know, he had been out working, you know, for a couple of years before the NATA implemented national certification and a national exam, and that he took the very first exam ever. And you know, we've spoken with many people that predate John Lopez. So getting the chance to talk to them and hearing their perspective has been pretty neat. As far as special privileges, not really a whole lot. Now one thing that I haven't done yet, but it's an opportunity that came up because of the podcast, is with the Tennessee Athletic Trainers Society, and they won't care about me mentioning this, and I hope it happens, but the Tennessee Athletic Trainer Society is our state organization. We have our annual meeting in Nashville every year. And one of the things that the newly elected officers thought would be a good idea would be to record and essentially release a podcast episode of their business meeting at the state meeting. And then a suggestion that I made, or that I will make to them, I don't know if they know it yet, is that I would like to record and podcast the keynote speaker and then do something that my colleague Pradeep Vanguri did with a little symposium they had down at their place. I'd like to try to grab each one of the speakers that, you know, speak during the educational portion of that annual meeting and just have them sit down, you know, and kind of just real quickly go over a little synopsis of what their presentation was and whatnot. And, you know, that opportunity is one that they came to me with, and they said, you know, we heard and we like what you're doing with the podcast stuff, and we would like to try to utilize that broadcast medium in a way that will benefit our membership. A lot of people are not able to get away and go to the annual meeting, and so they miss out on, you know, the happenings of the business meeting and things like that. So, you know, they came to me and said and asked if I would try to do that, and we'd try to make it available for them to post on the website. And, you know, really, the more you think about it, it's almost a no-brainer. Is, you know, there's somebody standing somewhere talking about something important. Why in the world aren't we recording it and making it available for everybody anyway? So, you know, that's something that I'm going to go do in January, and, you know, to help them out a little bit, to help out our state organization. But at the same time, I'd like to, you know, grab some of those people that are already there. You know, they're all smarter than me anyway, and kind of have them sit down and, you know, just do a little synopsis for me and for everybody listening about what their educational talk was and things. So, just, you know, the opportunity to be involved on the state level and hopefully beyond in some kind of official capacity is one that's pretty exciting to me and that I think would benefit everybody. So.
That's pretty cool. I've kind of thought about doing something similar, but I mean, I haven't ever been approached and nobody's asked me, hey, will you record all of these?
Yeah. But, well, you know, but at the same time, and you know, we brought you guys up kind of, you know, indirectly at one of our recent, we have a local organization called Mountain Athletic Trainer Society, and it looks very similar to you guys' GHATS organization, right? The Greater Houston Athletic Trainer Society, I think it is.
Yes, sir.
You know, about, because at our MATS meetings, you know, we meet and just kind of have an informal business meeting a lot of time and talk about issues that are, you know, that are of importance to us around East Tennessee, and Southwest Virginia for that matter. But, and, you know, a lot of times we have speakers come and they will speak, and we do, you know, CEU activity and whatnot. And, you know, I know that you're able to utilize Sports Medicine Broadcast as a CEU opportunity in some form or fashion. And I thought, why doesn't everybody do that? Why isn't that something that, you know, that you have people that are speaking, they're already presenting, you know, CEU opportunities and things like that. How come everybody isn't, you know, recording that and making it available for review and whatnot? And that was one of the things that I was going to ask you, either on tape or off tape, would be, you know, how did that come about, and what's been your experience with utilizing Sports Medicine Broadcast for CEU purposes and whatnot?
All right. Well, I mean, I can go ahead and talk about that now, and then it'll probably be the end before we have to let the kids go. But really, I've been wanting to do it, and I talked to one or two of our doctors, and then they're like, "Well, let me look into it," you know. And then it's, I didn't know how to go about it, but then I became the webmaster for GHATS, and so since I was on the board, I'd mentioned, you know, hey, would it be possible to use that, because they already have the CEU number for the NATA,
right?
And they're like, "Yeah, I mean, that's fine. Just they have to fill out the evaluation just like any other CEU event, and, you know, you have to keep record for that for so many years." And so, you know, it was really simple once I basically met the right people that already had the stuff set up. And so I have a online form on our GHATS member area, the members only area, because if you're a member, then it's free to you for the CEUs.
Right.
But surprisingly, I don't think I've had anybody fill out the form to get credits for the CEU. I know I've had athletic trainers listen, and,
yeah,
you know, Mike Stevenson in Huntsville, Alabama, he listens pretty much all the time, but, you know, nobody's filled out the form. So either, you know, they don't need the CEUs, or they don't want to, you know, get the 3/4 of an hour CEU every time. They'd rather just go to the events or what. I don't know. Offering this free CEUs hasn't seemed to increase the listening or increase any of that stuff. But,
that's surprising, but yeah.
But I'm not a fanatic or a student of the statistics, and, you know, I don't really watch when the downloads are and, you know, how many people are listening to the whole thing and that kind of thing. It's just kind of like, well, if people listen to it, they do. If they don't, they don't. I really would just rather have interaction, people, you know, commenting or saying, hey, would you mind talking to this? Or, hey, ask Chris this while you're on air with him, that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
More so than people downloading it for their credit. But using that is an extra way to encourage people to listen. So,
yeah.
I mean, maybe you have a little bit more of a following there, and, you know, you can get it working, and then we can kind of talk about it again sometime. And and see what changes that work.
It's hard to say. I'm probably the opposite, where I look at the download numbers all the time, just more out of curiosity, because, you know, like I said, I'd sometimes like to think we're, you know, that, well, I don't want to lump you in with it, but sometimes think I'm more important or more people are listening than really are. Really, I don't care, you know, but it's fun when people, you know, respond favorably to you, and when people make requests, you know, if you have somebody coming on and they tweet you a question to ask somebody, it's kind of neat to just to know that you are actually reaching people and that, you know, what you're doing is somewhat important to, you know, to your listeners. But at the same time, like I said, I you know, this is way down on the list of things. You know, I'm married and have a 6-year-old little boy, and, you know, like I said, my job here at Tusculum is important, and it takes priority over, you know, a lot of things, a lot of portion of the year. So if, you know, I enjoy doing this, I do it as much for me as I do for anybody, but I do like to know that, you know, that people are enjoying it. But, you know, if we have an episode where there's not many listeners or we don't get a lot of feedback, it's not going to break my heart. So, and maybe that's the best attitude to go in with, is that I'm going to do it whether or not, you know, people like it or not. And that kind of makes you less tentative about what you say and, you know, makes you take a little bit more risks as far as the guests that you have on or the topics that you talk about and things like that. So who knows? But so you said some of your students are interested in athletic training. Are they upperclassmen right now that are in there with you? These are more underclassmen, aren't they?
Most of them are freshmen, but we do have...
Okay.
Are you a junior? You're a sophomore or junior?
I'm a junior.
Junior, senior, sophomore.
Yeah.
So you know, it's mostly freshmen, but like I said, this is an intro in sports medicine, so anybody that fills out the application, we can take it for the most part. So,
yeah.
And then I would think about half of the kids in here are student athletic trainers, maybe a little bit more than half. And so,
yeah.
And you know, that's also another benefit of the class, is it feeds into our program. And so, you know, these kids, they come in here and like, oh, yeah, you know, I like what we're doing. Let's do that after school, too. Okay, good. And then, you know, they learn more. They experience more. They learn how to do all the taping and see the injury evaluation, that kind of stuff. So,
yeah. Well, and hopefully from being involved with the guests that you have, you know, they're exposed not just to the high school setting, but, you know, they talk to people that are in college. And I know you have had professional certified athletic trainers on and, you know, talked with people that, you know, gravitate more towards, you know, some of the associated sciences, like the nutrition and, you know, performance enhancement and stuff like that. But that's neat. Like I said, the way that you involve the students is unbelievable. Really, really good.
Well, thanks.
Yes, sir. So any of the students that did you guys have any other questions or anything about, you know, choosing a school or big, small, anything? What can I help you with?
Yeah, see, that's why we usually have the discussion topics, because most of the time when we're on the air, they don't tend to want to talk. Usually if I'm lecturing in class or something, then they don't want to stop talking. Yeah. But
no, yeah. That's fine. And I can kind of give, you know, without having anybody ask me, I don't know what different college athletic training programs there are right there locally. I know we have a lot of students that come through here for visits that ask a lot of questions about our athletic training education program. And one of the questions that we get a lot of times are, you know, and they ask us because a lot of times this comes from the parents, but, you know, we are a small school. We have a fairly sizable staff for the size school that we are. But a lot of times, you know, students are wondering just about, you know, is it better to go to a big school or small school or anything like that? And, you know, we run into that same thing kind of on the professional level, is, you know, would you rather work at a large school or a small school? Or if I were hiring somebody right now, would I look for somebody that is coming from a large school with a big athletic training program, Division I school, or somebody that kind of comes from a smaller school that plays in Division II, III, NAIA, junior college, anything like that. And you know, the answer that I would give is there is no one right answer. It's, you know, it's go around, kind of, you know, try to gravitate towards the programs that that speak to you. There's a lot to be said for some of the small programs and going through institutions that don't have all the bells and whistles, and they don't have a huge staff, and you may not have a doctor that comes to the athletic training room every day. Sometimes that's an anomaly at the high school level anyway. A lot of times you get physician involvement maybe on game days and things like that. But, you know, a lot of colleges have student health services, and they have, you know, physicians around, or they have athletic, sports medicine physicians that come to the athletic training room every day. And, you know, that's a nice tool to have, but from a, you know, from an education and a skill development standpoint, there's a lot to be said for, you know, kind of gravitating towards some of the smaller schools that have maybe a lower number of students. You'll have more opportunities to do things and whatnot. But then when the time comes, try to get that experience at, you know, at a higher level or at a larger program. You know, my undergraduate degree was, like I said, from East Carolina, and that was a big program. We had, you know, I think 70 students or something like that that came in my freshman class, and not many of us graduated. You know, a lot of people decided athletic training was not for them, and that's okay. Especially this day and age, athletic training kind of funnel you into so many different areas. You know, like I said, you go through those big programs, and it's not, you know, it's not competition per se, but you get a chance to kind of gauge where you're at and kind of compete with yourself as far as, you know, as far as how are other people in the program doing and what opportunities are they taking, you know, what kind of questions do they ask and what kind of opportunities do they seek out. So, you know, there are positives and negatives to going to big schools versus small schools. And it's really just kind of about what feels right to you. And so when the time comes, and if hopefully you guys decide to go into athletic training, look around and you know, don't be afraid to job shadow and to bug us about, you know, can I come hang out for a day, if, you know, even if it's over a school break or something like that. Most of the time athletic trainers will make themselves available and really talk with you about what their experiences have been and let you shadow around and kind of get a feel for their work setting and their educational setting. So,
all right. Well, I don't know if you heard, but that was the bell for me to dismiss them from lunch.
So, yep, no problem.
So you guys tell Chris thanks. And then
Thank you.
Good. Yep, good talking to you.
So it's going to be noisy for just a second.
Well, I tell you what, one of the things that I always do at the end of our episodes, and it would be interesting to get your take on it also, but I always, and you talked about kind of your background and work history and whatnot, but I always ask people to, if they want to recognize some of the physicians, athletic trainers, you know, educators, people that really contributed to the success that you've had as an athletic trainer and an educator for that matter. And just give them some recognition a little bit. So anybody that stands out in your mind is somebody who really, you know, kind of steered you into the profession or guided you along while you were preparing?
Well, I would say definitely my senior year of high school, the athletic trainer, his name was Chad Jones. He he took me to Lamar, which is a university that's an hour and a half outside of Houston. He drove, you know, because I was applying to the program and I needed to go visit and interview. And so, you know, he's like, well, here, I'll drive you. So he drove me an hour and a half out there, and then we did an interview and the tour, and then drove me back. So that was definitely way out of the way for, you know, a high school athletic trainer to do. I ended up not going there because I ended up going to Houston Baptist, where the other athletic trainer, his name was Joe Martinez. He went to Houston Baptist, and his friend was the athletic trainer there. So then he called and was like, hey, you know, Jeremy, I think this would be really good for you. And so basically he thought enough of me to warrant a full athletic scholarship as a student athletic trainer. And so, you know, those were definitely big. And then when I was at HBU, I had four different athletic trainers the 5 years that I was there. So there was a lot of turnover, but each of those guys, you know, helped me in one way or another, teaching me or showing me responsibility or believing in me.
Now, are you from there around the Houston area then?
Yes, actually graduated from one of the schools in our district, Dobie High School, and then went to Houston Baptist University and then lived in Fort Bend for 3 years and then back to Pasadena. So more or less I've been in Houston my entire life.
Okay. Yeah, I've never spent much time down around there. I was actually born in Lubbock, Texas, but I only lived there for a couple of years, and then I've been out of there, so I don't know much about the area. I don't really know many people down there, so it may be something. Do you think any of your students or anybody there around would be interested in trying to do any of the interviews for the athletic training month?
I'm sure they would. I mean,
your students could do it if you wanted to. I mean, just when you can. I'm not even sure really what the format's going to be. Last year was basically just talking about job settings and things like that, and it'd probably be very much the same, and just kind of do what you guys normally do anyway. But yeah, you can think about it and see if you identify any people or any of your students or people there around Houston that want to be involved. It's kind of an area and kind of a geographic location that we haven't spoken with anybody from down around there, so might be good to do.
If you're an athletic trainer or sports medicine professional that would like to be a guest on either the Sports Medicine Broadcast or atpodcast.net, especially for Athletic Training Month in March, where they're trying to release an episode every day, then you can contact Chris by going to atpodcast.net or on Twitter, atpodcast. And then, of course, there's our website, sportsmedicinebroadcast.com. Well, that'll pretty much wrap up our show. So, of course, as always, if you want to get in touch with us in any way, all the information is on our website, www.sportsmedicinebroadcast.com. We would definitely want to thank Chris Lenker from the AT Podcast in Tusculum College in Greenville, Tennessee. So for Jeremy and the rest of the sports medicine crew, that's a wrap.